Hola. So good evening, everybody. It's November 7th. This is our mindfulness coaching call, which means it's the first Monday of the month. And tomorrow, bright and early, in North America, we're going to have a lunar eclipse. So it's going to be a full moon and a lunar eclipse, which I guess go together. And so anyway, if you're up and about getting ready to vote, if you haven't already, you might want to look up at the moon and see what's up. See if we can see it, and actually see if it's up. I think in our time zone, in mountain time zone, I think it's, I have to check, but last time I looked, it was, yeah, was it four? I was going to say four or five. Okay. So you have to be up kind of early. But it's a definite, you know, it's a miracle. So let's get started. What I'd like you to do is just, if you would, if you wanted to, if this works for you, just close your eyes for just a moment and become here. Become here. Here, become. Become here. Become here. It's almost like you're being beckoned to be right here in this moment. Notice what it feels like when you give yourself that permission. So breathe in and breathe out. You might want to wiggle yourself a little bit. Find a comfortable place on your chair or on your stool, whatever you're sitting on your Zafu. Just kind of and notice who you are when you come right here. Not when you're there, but when you're here. And feel into that space. Feel into the space of here-ness. Again, not there-ness, but here-ness. And notice how you got there. Notice any landmarks to help you get there again. Because when we open our eyes, things will start shifting. The there-ness is here. And so it's always a choice to come back here or to go there. Always a choice. Deep bow to each of you. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Hi. Got some more people coming in. So many of you know that I've gone back to school. I'm in grad school. And I am learning a lot. And sometimes I'm weeping over what I'm learning because it's a tough one, you know, coming into a space that I never thought I was in denial around, but I wasn't necessarily in a place where I was actively working towards the future in an out there way. Even though I have the school, there was a part of me that wasn't totally, I want to say indoctrinated in a way, because I've been reading all these scientific journals and articles and things. So my studies have been on climate change, gender, and ageism, and finding the intersectionality between the three. And I wanted to bring this forward this month in terms of climate change within us. You know, there's this climate change out here that we're all very much aware of. I mean, for those of us who live in the Southwest, you know, Cindy and I are very aware, for instance, that fires have happened, drought has happened. You know, I actually went away for a while looking for another place to live, looked at 54 different houses not counting anything, of course, now, but I couldn't find anything that I really loved. And then I realized that the trees were beckoning me back home. It was the trees, you know, the trees that speak to me, and the great horned owl that talks to me, especially in the summer and the fall. And the coyotes that, you know, sing at night. And I'm wondering, where are my cats? Are they singing to my cats, luring them in, you know, the Greek mythology? But all those things are part of my home. It's my homeland. I don't want to leave. I don't want to be a climate refugee. And for many of you, you know that from April until probably about 2 weeks ago, I've been really thinking a lot about that. I traveled over, I think it was actually over 5,000 miles in my electric vehicle, and saw a lot of different things and witnessed a lot of different things. And what I became aware of was that for me to be really on my path in a truthful way, I also had to work on what's going on inside of me. So it's not just the climate changes that we can see, the smoke that we smell, the fires that we see on the, you know, the Sangre de Cristo range where Hermit Peak is. And it's not just the outside, it's also what's happening inside. You know, what toxins am I ingesting? Food, but also news, also being with people maybe that aren't really feeling peaceful in my body when I leave. You know, so really taking a look at the way I want my world to be and taking a look at how I can create that world out here for myself and for those people that want a peaceful world, a world that is sustainable and that kind of nourishes us, you know, from the inside out. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And the way I'm going to be doing it is I had to write a quick little piece last night. It's called a think piece. It's part of my graduate work. And we, as I said earlier, are trying to look at as many different journal articles as possible. We have a terrific professor, and we read, I don't know, 150 pages worth of journal articles a week. It's a lot. And then we look at extracting what's needed in a paper for us. And we play, we fool around. And last night, mine was due at midnight, and I didn't feel like I wanted to get analytical. So what I did was instead, I looked at my most favorite articles that I really resonated with. And of course they were it was somatic articles. You know, how the body affects us. I mean, I'm sorry, how climate change affects our body. And I just started thinking about, I really would like to meet this author who wrote this journal article. There's just something about him. It's like, you know, there's a kindred spirit. And I hadn't really felt like that with other scientists that I'd been reading. And I really liked him. And then I started thinking, if I was going to create like a Saturday night potluck and salon, who would I invite? And so I want to read this to you. And then we're going to get to the questions I would ask these people. So in some ways, you all could be, you know, each of you could be one of these folks. But some of them you're going to know, some of them you won't know. It wasn't something that I spent a lot of time with, because there are actually like E.O. Wilson, I would love to have at the table with me. I first started studying his work around ants because Thoreau was into ants at Walden Pond. But anyway, so let me just read this to you. So these would be the people around this table. Joanna Macy, for her poetic wisdom, intellect, and her sincere love of Gaia. And she's a 90-year-old woman who I've been fortunate to study with her over the last 15, 20 years. And boy, she's a strong one. Lillian Hill, who founded the Hopi Pisgah Permaculture Institute in Arizona. And Seth Godin, for his logistical motivation. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, for his long view, his sense of humor, and his experiences with marginalized populations. Mac Dryden, my son, for his philosophical permaculture action steps. I love the way that man, I've always loved the way his brain thinks. Paul Hawken, for his optimism and his ability to communicate to the masses about climate change. We have a real problem with people understanding what's going on in the world. And so there is this aspect of, well, maybe it's not really that bad, you know? Ryan Stock, who's my professor, for the work he's done in India and his crazy dance moves. He's just a crazy dude. And he's what keeps me in grad school. And Vandana Shiva, our Indian woman, for her experiences in bucking the systems and many systems that woman bucks. And then Gaia, Mother Earth, for her experience and her feedback. Us two-leggeds. So that's my circle of people. And there could be an inner circle from that, although I would want His Holiness to be right in the center. I'm a little biased there. And so this is what I wrote. We would gather in a circle, tossing all the many pieces of climate change, gender, and ageism into the middle for us to consider. As a collective, we would discern the products and the actions that aren't sustainable from those that are sustainable. Because there are a lot of products and actions out there that we think are sustainable, but they're not. You know, when you really look at their lineage of how they were produced, the production creates more toxicity than if we didn't have it, or for what it's being an alternative for. And then we would have come to Jesus moments because our lives are at stake. So I put together, I think, what's it, 9 questions. And all of them really have to do with how these people are working with climate change internally. So as coaches, this is such an important piece to start learning how to work with our clients around, because more and more people are becoming susceptible to actions that we have been doing for, you know, generations ago. You know, when I was 18, it was like 1979. No, it wasn't. It was 1970. And it was 1970. And my biology professor was Dr. Gordon Gill. And he was the first person that brought about anything about ozone and how there was a hole. And it happened because some of us were doing aerosol in our hairspray, because we had all these little, you know, our hair looked very different than it does now. And everything was aerosol. And that was going to be creating a greenhouse effect. It was the first time I'd ever heard about it. That was 50 years ago. It was 50 years ago. Actually, 52 years ago. And the situation is worse, much, much worse than then. But we've had this knowledge for a long time. And now it's starting to really erupt with the tornadoes. And I mean, there's just so much that's happening around the world. I don't have to tell you. I mean, we could go into a whole litany here, but I'm not going to. Bottom line is, internally, we're having climate changes happening. So what do we do with that? Like, what do we do when we read the headlines that, well, actually, I'm going to read some headlines. I don't want to perpetuate the negativity here and the despair, but, you know, in the New York Times on the front page today, it says things like 11 exercises for better rest. Now, the reason they have that article is because people aren't getting rest, you know? So here are 11 antidotes for rest. Otherwise, they wouldn't put that there because they would want a following of readers. So that's an indicator that people aren't sleeping really well. Note that as a coach. How do you help your clients who come in with an agenda that says, I want to sleep longer. I'm not sleeping. I go to sleep really fast. I'm awake in 2 hours. I can't go back to sleep until 6 a.m. I have to be at work at 8. Or I can't go to sleep until like 3 o'clock in the morning, even if I put myself to bed at 10, I just lay there, toss and turn. I'm worried. I'm concerned. My body's, you know, tight. It's knotted up. Well, here are 11 exercises for better rest. How to follow the news without spiraling into despair. How to follow the news without spiraling into despair. I mean, I read that earlier today and was like, well, gosh, if that was the question, if that's the powerful question that we would use, I'm really strict. I would probably question, do I even want to follow the news? Or maybe find a different place to get my news from. What psychologists want today's young adults to know? I don't know about you, but when I was a young adult, I didn't know what a psychologist really was. You know, if I consider myself as a psychologist or as a young adult at 16, that wasn't part of my generation. We went to the dermatologist to help us get rid of our pimples. You know, it was like looking good, but internally now things are shifting, just like my face just shifted. Do I all of a sudden look totally white right now? What happened? No, there I am. Whoop. I don't know what's going on. But this is global listening. So all of a sudden my body changes outwardly. So what does that mean? If you were coaching and you were on Zoom with somebody, I'm serious, what would you do? How would you bring this forward? Because suddenly there are no features. You can, oops, and then I'm back. So what just happened? There were no features and now I'm back. How would you work with that? Matt, who's one of our senior students. Then I'm going to go back to what I was talking about, but that was too good.
You could bring up something about, you looked like you were glowing there for a second. Did you have an epiphany? Tell me about it. What are you thinking?
Maybe it was radiation.
Yeah. Or it could be a camera that's not focusing quite right, but yeah.
It could be. But the epiphany would be fine. It's like, so what just happened inside of you? What just, woof, you know, permeated? And how come it keeps changing? You know, what is that about? So that's global listening. And we use that a lot at the school. And we want our clients to, and I really don't want this to continue. I wonder. Okay, well, I just go like that.
It's the darkness behind you. It's trying to auto-correct the brightness. And so I think if you brought a few lights up, it would stabilize.
Okay, hold on. Hey Siri, turn the lights on in the entertainment room. How's that? Better? I think you're right. I think it was an autocorrect, which is crossed.
I think there was an epiphany in there too, though.
I think there was an epiphany too. Because even though technologically we figured it out, it happened at a certain moment. So then we bring that forward. Okay, so I want to get back to the psychologist business. It's not that being seen as a psychologist is a bad thing. I mean, hello, that's how I make my living. But generationally, three generations ago, we were looking at different things. We were looking at other kind of stuff. And now we're looking more internally, which I think is actually a good thing. How to get things done when you don't want to do anything? Has anybody been experiencing that lately, last 2.5 years, más o menos? No, nobody? Me, I have. Alicia's going, yeah, she has. And so these are all things that the readership of the New York Times is wondering about. So as coaches, how do we take that forward? And because for me, this is a lot about inner climate change. Let Oops, we've got somebody who called in.
That's me because I can't hear you on.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I put together some questions based on all of this, because when I've got two social activists, environmentalists that I work with. One's a cinematographer who's tracking and documenting much about the climate in Pakistan with the floods. And he's having a rough time with it. And there are other people that are having a rough time with it too. So I have this group of people around my table Saturday night. We're doing a potluck. It's a salon. And I ask each of them, I say, how do you take care of your mental health as you delve into the apocalyptic hardships of climate change? How do you take care of your mental health as you delve into the apocalyptic hardships of climate change? Now, some of you may balk at the term apocalyptic, but the more I'm studying, the more I'm, yeah. That seems to be the trajectory. And it's not, I'm not saying it out of, you know, fear or, you know, let's scare you guys or anything like that. It's just what is. I think that that's just what is. So as coaches, how do we work with our clients when they can't sleep, when they are young and they're going to see a psychologist because they want to have, they thought they were always going to have kids, and now they don't think that they should bring kids into this world because of what's happening on Gaia. How would you work with somebody? What would you do? How do you take care of your mental health? So these are questions. This is one big question, I think, that's very important to ask specifically of our clients, even if they're not social activists or environmentalists. Because in many ways, all of us are environmentalists. We live here in this environment. So another question, how do you take care of yourself somatically? How do you take care of yourself somatically? You know, we had about 2.5 years with the pandemic where we could kind of hang out in our jams and, you know, everything looks like, you know, we were in these relaxed clothes and things were just kind of slow. And I sort of liked it, actually. There were aspects of it that I really enjoyed. And yet now we're back in to a different kind of a world. We've stepped into a new world. And how do we take care of ourselves somatically? How do we do that? And how is it similar to how we take care of Gaia? So these internal climate change pieces, the resources are all inside of our bodies. We can just ask. We can just ask. And we're going to be asking in just a minute, but I want to read a couple more questions. I'm not going to read them all, but some of them. What are your strategies in down-regulating your mind and body when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling hopeless, when you're feeling nihilistic from the scientific data that you're receiving? What are your strategies in down-regulating your body when that's going on inside? Always better to do it ahead of time as a preventative than when you're in the midst of it. Because one of my other questions is, have you ever had a panic attack based on the knowledge of climate change, gender, and ageism? And if yes, what was the trigger? And how did you move through it? These are not questions that we want to ask ourselves. They're not questions that we want to look at. And yet we need to find the answers. How do you sleep at night? What were your last 5 dreams? This is the question that I'm most interested in for myself. What similarities have you discovered between climate changes within individuals and within their bodies and with Gaia? Because one of the things that I learned a lot while I was traveling was that there that we have to kind of choose our poisons on where we live. We can fall in love with an incredible, beautiful place on Lake Superior and then realize that just 2.5 miles down the road is open mining of ore and copper, and that there's a majority of people in that area that have Parkinson's disease. And then we might look at, well, maybe smoke isn't so bad. So what diseases are happening inside your body based on what's happening on Gaia, what's happening on our planet? You know, how are we taking these toxins in and not metabolizing them? And then, of course, you know, being that great coach that we are, as a global community, what do you think is the most important action that needs to be taken today? And then what's the second most important action? And then what's the third most important action? And then I ask each of them, how can we help your work come to fruition? How can we help the work that you do on this planet come to fruition? And then just to be a little bit dramatic, I ended the questions with, how long do we have? How long do we have? So this piece that we're talking about, this the inner climate change within us, I think is reflective of what's going on in the world. I think that there's a lot of metaphors that are similar. And you know, I went back to grad school specifically to start understanding what's going on because it was keeping me up at night. The lack of knowledge, the lack of having good discussions around this as opposed to just surfing the headlines. I needed to learn how to read graphs. I hate reading graphs, but I needed to learn how to read graphs to be able to understand what was going on. So the other reason I'm doing it is because we have this vehicle called Mindfulness Coaching School, where we've been focusing on mindfulness for almost eight years. And I chose to come into this school because I wanted to do mindfulness with my clients and not have to explain why. I was tired of explaining why. I just wanted people to come in. Oh, she has this school called Mindfulness Coaching School. I bet she's going to be doing meditation and mindfulness. By gosh, she is. Well, now I'm thinking about going mindfulness, climate change, because I want to start bringing this in. And it has a lot to do with gender. It's like the majority of the toxins that come in the United States are in marginalized populations. You know, look at Detroit, Flint, you know, Lake Erie. It's like it's people that are underrepresented. So it's a very systemic problem. And how are you going to coach these folks? Because pretty soon everybody on the planet is going to be an environmentalist, because we all live on the planet and we're coming to it in different ways. You know, I don't think we're going to have like 50 years, 52 years, like I had since I was 18 with Dr. Gill talking about the ozone. It's coming fast. And how do we coach it? So what do you think? I'm throwing that out to everybody.
I would say that the book Welcoming the Unwelcome by Pema Chodron, to me, it seems to inform some of these things, because there's some very unwelcome things coming in the world that are very frightening and disrupting. And how do you roll with that? Mm-hmm. And as I've listened to the book twice in the last 2 weeks, I'm probably going to listen again. It's that important to me. I feel like I'm learning ways of rolling with discomfort and things that aren't easy. Because mm-hmm. I think as coaches and as leaders in the world, change happens, and it is happening. And it's an opportunity for growth and connection. And it's an opportunity to lead towards, I think, a better world in the future, even though we have to suffer through it right now. And so that one book is influencing some of my thoughts on it.
Right. Thank you. That's Welcoming the Unwelcome by Pema Chodron, P-E-M-A space Chodrin. She has quite a few books. It's one of the books we're actually using in the Mindful Eating, Mindful Life class. So thanks for bringing that forward, Matt. So what's arising for you all? I just shared a whole lot of stuff really fast. So how's your body feeling? Lisha, you've kind of got this, you're looking up and you've got this on and off grin.
Yeah, it change through love, not fear, is what's coming up. So there's so much fear around it. And that motivation and inspiration that comes from a place of loving yourself first. And that's that somatic, those somatic questions you're asking. How do I take care of myself somatically in all of this? How do I fit in? What's around me right here in my immediate environment? You have a different place than I do. And I have different things affecting me here, but then those circles of influence go out with climate change to the whole world, of course. Exactly. You know, and so there's things that we can do to make a difference within our sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a perspective shift sometimes in order to see what I can actually do to make a difference. And I think coaching on not holding the fear of the whole world all the time, which can be so inhibiting, the acting out of fear, reacting to the headlines. So it's, how do you approach it with love first? And I think there's lots of ways to do that. And I see that here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've made a big difference here locally through our conservancy group, just in a few years. And so it there's like the small community group of five or six people that have made a regional change happen. Those kinds of things. Through love of place is where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Love of the fish. It was just all about herring. Mm-hmm. Just loving the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I respect that.
And so what would you do? And I buzz this out to all of you. What would you do if your client was an executive of Exxon? And he wanted to figure out a way to have better marketing for his company because his shareholders are upset with him and the stock has gone down. So it has to do with more oil, more fracking. And he's a fisherman and he loves the herring. And he even has a place on the island where Alicia lives. He has another place in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he has another place in Montenegro. He's a nice man.
Yeah.
Fought by his own bootstraps. Good
and
God.
It sounds like his life and his values are out of alignment with his career goals and what he's doing with the company that he's with. So I think there's a lot there to coach around without pointing fingers.
Okay, but again, I'm asking this of everybody. What would it be if his agenda is about marketing? It's not about our agenda for him. It's about his agenda that he wants the stock to go up. And how can he do that, Taylor?
My first thought is you have to build connection with the client and compassion and get to know what they value and their perspective and the pressure and, you know, whatever feelings they have that are driving, you know, that need. And it's such a big, you know, if you want to take this bigger, right? Mm-hmm. This concept is dividing. And if we want to make a change, you have to build compassion and connection with everyone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Love is important, but there's also these big organizations that systemically have far reaches, far tendrils into all the places. So we need to do things locally, like what Lisha is talking about. And there is that piece that we have to establish that love and the trust and the intimacy that we, you know, part of the core competencies of ICF. And yet there's still the largest polluters are the corporations and the industries. Latanya, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was going to just piggyback on Leisha and Taylor where, you know, for me, so I've turned down clients. One company, we all know, I won't mention the name, but they've just been known for conversion therapy of LGBTQ kids. So we probably know what company I'm talking about. Very large company. And, you know, I think the question was asked, hey, I think you could come in here and help them. But I just couldn't do it. It was such a values, like what Leisha said, it's such a values clash. Like if Exxon came to me and they asked me, I just wouldn't be able to do it. It's just not my niche. And so I think if it were a client that wanted to explore this topic a little bit more, I think I could do that around values work. But otherwise, I don't think we have to do that because we have to, like you said, like we have to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And for me, I personally would feel a lot of harm with an engagement like that. And it's not up to me. I could refer that to someone else and not experience that suffering and do things that bring me joy. And like Leisha said, that bring me love and make me more motivated in the world and be around those people that kind of have that energy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that would be my answer to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Nick, what would you do? And hi, how are you?
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you. I'm Nick. So yeah, I would say coming back to like, in terms of the ExxonMobil CEO, like the problem right now is that the majority of people like rightfully don't trust, you know, these big corporations. And if he wants to like actually make change, probably needs to be like, make these actionable items that he could do today, like displaying certain data, you know, that's easy for people to digest to kind of make the education about it like more accessible, you know, because you see the commercials that they're, you know, but it's like kind of basically like greenwashing, you know, where they're just saying that they're doing all these things, but it's like, instead of just saying like what you're doing, let's point out like what the problem is and then how like we, like on our day-to-day basis relate to these big corporations and how like we need to like work together, because if we don't get the big corporations to not pollute as much, like the individual efforts that like we make, you know, in the long run won't be as like beneficial. So, mm-hmm. And I think just, in general with like the, you know, apocalyptic like thoughts of the environment, I think like that's like, we're like, that's projecting into the future and like creating that like future in your mind where it's like you can try to stay grounded and like stay optimistic but in like a realistic way where, you know, you're not just like relying on, oh, we have like great technology, great scientists today that will like figure it out, because like so many people are working on it, but it's like figuring out, you know, what can I do on the community level and how that relates to the big corporations and whatnot. But I think, yeah, it all comes back to like education, because even like nowadays, different like environmentalists will have like different points of views on like how to approach different problems. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, E.O. Wilson, who I referred to earlier, he got the Pulitzer Prize twice or something. But one of his quotes that I've always liked is that, you know, that education is what's going to save the planet. That we have to educate. And some of that is like what Leisha brought up, you know, it's educating how we can love each other, regardless of how we look at the planet, regardless of how we, you know, I mean, Latanya wrote a book about differences and, you know, how can we love each other when we're different from each other? How can we do that? So these are kinds of questions that are going to come forward. And they have been in my world with my clients. And, I also have a teacher who's 39 years old, a professor who's 39, who really feels the urgency of being able to start shifting things on, like on a dime, like just pivoting and making new things happen, and not relying, as Nick said, you know, to, oh, somebody will figure this out. You know, we've got some brilliant minds here on the planet, so we're just going to keep moving on. you know, go back. Well, that's a level of denial, I think. Yeah. Christine, what are you thinking about all this?
I'm trying to think about my client caseload, and like, I'm a trauma therapist, so I don't really, that's not something that ever comes up in my sessions. I mean, of course, I have people that can't sleep and things like that, but I guess the way that I approach things is thinking more of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that love and seeing what we can do here first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's important for us to be centered in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
before we can go out there. Now, that's obviously not necessary. We need to do something about climate change right now, because I do think you said the term apocalyptic. I don't think it's too far off, right?
Well, and I think some populations are experiencing it as apocalyptic.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just that we're not seeing it because of where we live. In fact, I know they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But to approach that guy, that marketing guy, I probably would, I'm really conflicted, because I think about it from the perspective of, I don't get to force a client's agenda. If he needs help with marketing, then
that's what he's hiring you for.
Right. Right. But again, like, I don't know. Like, if I'm in the right place here, cause I just don't know. So to answer your question, I'd be conflicted on that, because if that's his agenda, I might talk about what are the things that are important to him and try and explore it a little bit more with them. Mm-hmm. But on one hand, I feel like a need to kind of influence people in certain ways as far as the environment goes, but I just don't know if it's in my office that I should be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So again, I don't know if this, like, if I'm in the right place here, because
you're right now in this moment.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you are. Oh, okay. My gosh. Oh yeah. Right. I mean, I could call myself a trauma specialist. That's what I did for 20 years or something. It was just all about trauma, PTSD.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I'm witnessing as a coach, because I'm even though I'm still licensed as a psychotherapist, I'm not no longer, you know, practicing it. But as a coach, there's a lot of eco-anxiety. There's a lot of climate change anxiety. And it depends on where, you know, where do you live?
Outside of Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so you've got the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm. Tornado comes by.
Tornado does, right.
Yeah.
Now, LaTanya's from Chicago also.
Yeah.
She just did a great talk up in Milwaukee that we saw. Yeah, as we were coming down.
Yeah, I have an MBA student that's in charge of all of our water, and he talks about how we have too much water, and so we export it to other states. But anyway, just another, there's just so much going on, and I think everybody's kind of growing up with us and understanding it, and so it's just really motivating and inspiring to see the future MBA students have perspectives on this and what they do. Like, he just went to Mississippi because they're having so many issues down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I think it's a fascinating place to get into, and it needs to be talked about, because a lot of us aren't talking about it. We're just, you know, unless we just sort of slide over it. Good. That's all I've got. And I think all of you are in the right place. Does anybody want to be coached? We have 5 minutes to do a mini coaching session. Maybe 7. Really? Nobody wants to be coached? Okay, Matt, why don't you coach me?
Okay, I'll put my glasses on for this.
Do that.
Anne-Marie, you have my permission, or your permission to coach. Okay, I'm discombobulated. Anne-Marie, I have your permission to coach you.
Yes, you do.
All right. I coach according to the ICF Code of Ethics. Part of that is confidentiality. I want you to know that I will not break confidence with anything that we discuss here unless I have knowledge that you may harm yourself or others. Are you okay with that?
I am, but I'd be even better with it if it didn't sound like you were reading it.
Okay. Well, we only have 7 minutes.
I know.
I'm trying to laser it out.
But time, that's great. But pretend like it's spacious. There's just spacious.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what would you like to be coached on today?
I'm going to be a composite of a client. I want to be coached on, I want to be coached on the fact that I can't sleep at night. I'm the mother of 5 children, and all of them are out of diapers, and now I can't sleep because I'm concerned about their well-being and their future.
All right. So I hear that you want to be coached on sleeping better at night, and you've talked about how you're worried about their future. So where does this rest in your body when you're worrying about their future?
In my mind. My monkey mind goes all over the place.
Your monkey mind. All right. And what have you done in the past to help slow the monkey mind? Would you be willing to try a meditation to settle?
Okay, so you asked 2 questions. So I'm going to be your coach. I'm going to be your mentor coach, okay?
Yes.
So are you real clear with what my agenda is?
Your agenda, as I understand it, is to understand how to sleep better at night in face of worries about your children's future.
Period. I want to sleep better at night.
Okay. All right. So...
Now, I did say that it was a compound sentence. So you could go back and say, so bottom line, where do you want to be at the end of our session today?
Okay.
So bottom line is going. So.
All right. So bottom line, where do you want to be at the end of this session today?
I want to sleep like I would if I'd had a fever. And my mom was just cuddling me. I want to sleep like that. I just want to just, it's like the fever's broken and I'm starting to get better, but my mom is still with me and she's just holding me. I want that cozy love feeling that everything is going to be okay.
How could you create this feeling for yourself?
I could just put myself in my mom's arms and remember that, how much she instilled that safety and love for me, with me, in me.
Would you do this in your mind?
When you asked me that question, I thought, it's like I want to close my eyes, but I also want to put my hands up at my heart.
So there's a somatic aspect to it as well that you could tap into. How would you do that?
I think I would just breathe. The image I'm getting is like having my hands right here and then breathing in, but not breathing, even though I would be breathing in through my nose and exhaling through my mouth, I would actually, like, I'm visualizing like sort of this empty space right here, both hands, that goes straight, the air goes straight, the oxygen goes straight into my heart.
Yeah. Would you like to try that for a few breaths?
Sure.
All right. So just settle into your chair, feel grounded, feel the earth holding you safely. Come to balance in a alert and dignified posture, and as you're holding your heart, I want you to breathe in to that space. You're bringing in love and peace, comfort. That sureness that you're okay, that your mother always brought to you. As you breathe out, just let go of all that's not needed. Let that space empty out of all that's not needed. Just breathe at your own natural rate. Breathe in the love, the peace, the comfort. Breathe out what is not needed. Do that for two or three breaths on your own, and when you're ready, come back to the session. So will you be able to do this tonight when you're ready to rest?
Yeah, I will.
All right.
And I'd like to share something too.
Okay, please do.
That it wasn't my mom's arms, it was Mother Earth. And I remember when I was a little girl, I used to have this sort of image of Mother Earth. And then I started using Gaia because I liked Gaia and I liked the difference, like the whole idea of goddess. But there's something about Mother Earth that's more my religion. I don't know, or something. And as a little girl, it speaks more to me than Gaia does for right now, even though they're the same. So I felt held by Mother Earth, that I am the earth, that I come from the earth. And I'm being held.
That's a beautiful metaphor. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
So did you receive what you needed in these 5 minutes?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm just going to cut right in, pop in.
Okay.
So changing hats. So that was like a mini intervention. I don't know how many minutes that was. Was it 7?
Yes. 7, yeah, about 7.
So I would call that a mini intervention. And you can do that with your clients. Oftentimes, you know, if we have, like I do 30-minute sessions. If I get to 20 minutes and the agenda is complete, the client feels great, and we still have 10 minutes left, what do you do? Well, what else would you like to be coached on? Is there something that is a kind of, as a result of the agenda that we just completed, is there something that's arising from that? Or is it something totally different? It can be anything, because this is your 10 minutes. So never, ever, ever, ever let the clock determine how you're going to be as a coach. Move into spaciousness, because you never know when a time warp is going to happen. And it happens a lot. Happens a lot. Okay. So what did you notice about how Matt coached? What arose for you? Christine, what happened for you?
The way that he parroted your words based on what you wanted, and really it seemed like he brought you into the space that you wanted to be really well.
Mm-hmm. 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 LaTanya.
Yeah, I feel like after the first two questions, got right into the body, mm-hmm. and it went, and you tried to take him back up to the head, but he still stayed in the body. So that was wonderful. So yeah,
you did a good job with that.
Yeah.
When we're doing EMDR, for instance, it's like as much as excuse me. Is that somebody's cat? Or that was, that might have been my cat. Okay. Sounded like they were having a difficult time. Okay. I can't remember where we were. I'm sorry. All of a sudden I thought.
EMDR.
EMDR, thanks. So with EMDR, we want to keep the client in their body, because there's so much information, there's so much body wisdom And how do we do that? We keep bringing them back. Just like we bring ourselves back, we rein our minds back into this core moment. As we did earlier, you know, it's like coming into the here-ness, not the there-ness, but the here-ness of this moment. So important, because there's so much knowledge. You know, the body has so much to tell us when we're able to just sit and listen. So as coaches, what's important, I think, is to be able to give the client as much silence as possible so they can go deep and feel into that. And so what LaTanya said, you know, it's like bringing Anne-Marie down from her mind, so she's not a brain on a stick, into her body is most important. Yeah. So lots happened here. And I hope all of you have a blessed month. We're going to be meeting again in December, first Monday of the month. And I've got a cat that's in trouble. So we'll be meeting on the 5th of December. Okay. And we'll see where we go. So thank you very much for coming. Our last class for 2022 began this past Saturday. So the next classes, if you're ready to register, will be in January. And they're filling up already. Mentor coaching group has been filled for, I think, 3 months. So pop in, get it. Deep bow. Thanks, everybody. Bye. See ya.